Welcome to Youth Force Chronicles. My name is Mr. Joe, and this is the podcast for teens.
By teens.
Yeah, there it is.
And we're going to get to talk about jobs and careers today. We are interviewing Mary. What does she do?
I don't know.
Let's find out.
Are you ready?
What's up, guys? My name is Mr. Joe, and this is Youth Force Chronicles. Today, we are joined by our new guest. Co-host, Silas. Silas, introduce yourself.
I'm Silas Dunn.
Silas Dunn. He's done with everything.
And then we also have our other co-host.
You know, it's Crazy Jay here. How y'all doing today, yeah?
Everybody doing well out there. How's everybody here today?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we also have our special guest for the day. We have Mary. Mary, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Mary Cordero.
Okay. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see you, Silas, can figure this out.
Yes, it's going to be a good time. So even though we're going to talk about jobs and careers, first, we got to tell a little fun fact about ourselves. And so the way we do things here is that we have 10 seconds to come up with a fun fact. If we don't say it in time, then we, one of the co-hosts here, get to make up one for you.
Yeah. No pressure, Silas.
Pressure. Okay.
So to start this off, a fun fact about me is that I fell out of a chair while holding food.
Oh, my God.
And I did not spill any food item on my plate.
That is my most favorite Joe story that I love telling. It was at the Christmas party for the club. Oh my gosh. The chair just exploded from underneath him. Woof. He just sat down too. He's like, nothing spilled, man. It was a Christmas miracle.
Did you just keep eating? Or
no, yes. He did. Well, yes. I did. Yeah. But nothing spilled. Like that was he just went, woof. It's like, anyways, it was really cool.
I once fell into a pool with a brownie in my hand. And I made sure to save the brownie, and it didn't have a drop of water on it.
See?
That's
a win.
Yeah.
No one likes a soggy brownie. Is that your fun fact?
No.
Okay.
Oh, that's good to know.
That's good to know, though.
Okay. We're gonna come back to Mary, so we're going to go to Silas first. Silas, what's a fun fact about yourself?
He's got
to
do a quick turnaround.
Well, I have a cat that weighs 17 pounds.
What?
Yeah.
Bowling balls don't even weigh that much.
Yeah, I put a chip in front of him this morning, like far enough away so he couldn't get it. And he tried sticking out his tongue to reach it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't make it up. So,
like, is that just trying to, like, get him exercise? Or is it torture? What is it?
Well, no, it's like, he barely ever moves. And if you, like, no matter what position you put him in, he kind of absorbs into his surroundings. And so he does that. And the only time he runs or moves a lot, whenever he hears like food in a bowl or something, he becomes the Flash and he's gone.
So. Oh, I thought he just like breathes like that.
No, that's just you.
You know I have asthma.
Okay, Jay, Crazy Jay, fun fact about yourself.
I wrote the song to the intro of this podcast.
Did you actually?
No, he didn't.
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't.
Okay. No. Oh, I was like, that's impressive.
I'm going to give you 5 seconds this time.
5 seconds? Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Count five.
I learned how to put in plugs this weekend at my house.
Ooh. Did you electrocute yourself?
I did.
Did you actually?
I 100% did. That is not a joke. I electrocuted myself on accident because I was trying to test the two wires. We have like electric heating in the ceiling for some. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea. But these like these big knobs. And so I was trying to test it to see if there's power coming to it, because I thought I should turn it off the breaker, and it had these like little clips that like test it, and the rubber came off the one, and I got distracted because it made a spark at first. I'm like, ooh, sparky. And it fell. And I just go, it was like, oh my gosh, Katie, my wife about fell out. Cause she's like, oh, please don't die. I'm like, I'm up. So, I mean, like it would have, I was terrified the whole night that my heart was going to like
stop,
freak out like later. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. But anyways, yeah.
Well, that's hilarious. It shouldn't be hilarious, you know.
I mean, it is.
It did. It's funny to me because I know you.
Well, it burnt my thumb. It like came out my finger. Like I went up and it came out my thumb, and like I was like, I smell popcorn, but it wasn't. It's just a bacon. So I smell bacon.
So but
it was
nasty.
My skin.
Because it was bacon.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But that was the only time I got electrocuted. So
That's good to know.
I got electrocuted.
All right. Mary, now it's your turn. What's a fun fact about yourself?
Fun fact about me is that I lived in Sydney, Australia for 6 months. Learned how to surf, went camping with kangaroos.
You camp with kangaroos?
But the real question is
Louie there?
No. Forget Louie? About Louie. The real question is.
No, don't say forget.
No. Hey. No, here's the real question.
Louie?
Did you fight a kangaroo?
Oh, yeah.
No fights.
Oh, dang.
But I was like tent camping, woke up in the middle of the night, had to go to the bathroom. There's like, we're at a campground where there's bathrooms and. Our tent, the backside was mesh. So I'm like seeing kangaroos in the wild. Like, do I go to the bathroom or not go to the bathroom?
They just, like, the morning.
They just stare at you.
They're just bigger. They're like bigger than us.
Yeah. They just look like they just taunt you. Like, just walk in, you say something, and then they just pop you in the
they're
face.
They're like not as cute as they are at the zoo.
Well, they're also bullies because we took Bodhi, my son, to a friend's birthday party. Here in town, and they have this place that it's like a animal retreat. I don't know if not a retreat, but like a sanctuary. And they had two baby kangaroos, right? And so they had this baby goat that was following us around. They kept it in the barn while we were in the barn looking at the camels and all that stuff because they didn't want to like go out there and the goat be eating the cake or something. and so they go in there and they're like, well, just put the goat with the kangaroos. And the kangaroos started bullying this goat. I was like, hey, leave that kid alone. Because they're like, because a baby goat's a kid.
I get
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. I just, you looked confused there for a second.
No, I'm just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay. I know it was a dad joke for sure. But they were, I mean, they were like pulling on its tail. And it was like, meh. It was kind of, I have video of it.
Bang it into the fence. Bow.
I was like, world star. So anyways, I digress.
He stuffed the goat into his pouch and just jumped.
It's a baby goat. I'm going to put him in my pouch. I don't know why they do baby goat.
Then belly flops on concrete.
Yeah.
So, Mary, what was your favorite part about being in Australia?
Oh, yeah.
I think the people I met there and also just the scenery. Like, we were close. We could go to the beach every day. You're close enough to go to the mountains.
Why did you come home?
Like that. I had to.
Was it a vacation or was it like
a study abroad in college?
Ooh,
so I worked and I studied while I was there. I won't tell you what
I
studied.
Okay, that's what I was about to say. If I ask you, will it spoil?
I studied one required class that had nothing to do with what my job is now.
Okay.
Was Australian history.
Oh.
So we had, there was like 10 or 12 of us from the University of Tennessee all in that class. And then probably 10 or so Australian kids. So we were learning Australian history and they were learning American history from the perspective of Australia.
Did you get to what are the Aborigines? Who are the people? Did you get to like be with them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man. I've always wanted to do a trip like that where I'm like Indiana Jones in it. Like just sleeping with the, in the, in
really?
The, yeah.
That's what you think it's going to be like.
Played the didgeridoo.
Yeah, let's see.
Like long the thing cool. I made in VBS one time.
Yeah.
Now this is for real.
Did you do the bullet ant thing where you stick your hands in the...
In the gloves?
Yeah, the gloves that had the ants bite you.
No.
It's okay. I wouldn't have done it either.
I just avoid all the bugs.
Oh, yeah. Was it... I mean...
Is the thing that they say about spiders true?
Yeah, all the spiders, snakes, lizards.
Does the toilet flush the opposite way?
I don't remember that.
What?
Like, yeah, it did. I mean, you know, like people drive on different sides of the street, walk on the different sides of the street. Like everything's backwards.
Okay.
The stars are not the same, you know? I didn't realize that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense. You're on the other side of the...
Mm-hmm. You're looking at totally different stars.
Oh, that's crazy.
Is it like all upside down or backwards or is like actually like
they're actually different?
Oh, that's cool.
There's something. So like
you're on the bottom half of the world.
But you're not seeing like the northern stars. You're seeing like. The Southern Cross is like it there, like north.
Wow. Yeah. Did you go where there's no light pollution too? Like you could see everything?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that a couple of times, but Haiti and done that same thing where you're just like, holy cow, this is what the sky really looks like at night. Wow. Crazy. But so I guess we'll go ahead and get into the next portion of the show, and that is guess who?
So in this part of the show, this is where Silas is going to see if he can figure out what you do.
Under pressure.
But we have some ways that you can go about this. You can come up with two truths and it's two lies and one truth, where you'll tell them some things of like, oh, this is what I do. But one of those options you give them is the actual truth of what you do.
Yeah.
Or you can just poorly explain what you do and see, based on those explanations, he will figure it out.
Or will he? Mm-hmm. Just know there's something at stake here if you don't do it.
What?
Your left shoe. Well,
you got to give up your left shoe every time you come through the door for the week. See, even the lights agree.
Yeah.
It got really menacing there when I said that. That was funny. Okay. All right. So which one would you like to choose, Mary?
I think I'll do two lies and a truth.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
All right. Ready? Are you ready, Silas?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
Okay. Number one, I am a famous YouTuber, have a like whole show, and we go around the country interviewing people on what they do for fun. Like, we talk about all their hobbies and activities to kind of open the doors for people to learn about new hobbies and like what they want to do. So we interview, I've been to North Dakota recently doing some, even far as like South Georgia, close to Florida. Like, we do a lot of different things. So
I'm guessing that is a lie.
No, you can't guess.
Oh,
yet.
I can't guess yet.
All the facts first, more. Man. Or the details.
Number two, option two, is that I am a account executive for a marketing firm. So I help clients across the country do their marketing. So whether that's like social media and influencers and IL deals or TV commercials, Google ads, all that, all those things, help people do that.
Okay.
Last, I am a software engineer a company that makes like websites and softwares in agriculture. So they like think of like an app that helps you know when your corn is ready to be harvested, and it like helps you draw the maps and the plots of land and that kind of stuff.
We recently partnered
with John Deere, and like it's called they're like market center, and you like put it in your tractor, and it's part of what makes a tractor's autonomous now, like they drive themselves, you know.
I always wondered how they did stuff. That.
Yeah. It's like off of Wolverine. Speaking of Deadpool, Wolverine coming. No, I'm just kidding.
Shameless plug. Okay. Silas, you have three options.
I will say that was like the hardest one. Yeah. You did that very well.
Yeah. I'm a little confused.
All of those sound so.
Yeah. I think option one sounds pretty believable.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion, though.
I don't think it's option one, though, because.
Why do you say that?
Because I don't remember anything about a YouTuber.
That's right. Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying.
He's using his knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's option two.
Option two is correct. Yeah.
Wow.
We may have a fluke in this system. Your reward is you get to keep your left shoe for the rest of the week.
Yay.
Can you imagine? That's the thing that needs to happen. So that was pretty good. So let me ask this question first. You seemed very like you had that information ready to get go.
Yeah.
So how much of those were true and how much of those were lies? Like,
okay, so the YouTuber part, no, I don't work with any YouTubers.
Okay.
But I explained to you essentially what some of our clients do.
Ooh.
So I, as part of being account executive, I have to know like the industries that our clients are in.
Okay.
So I know a little bit about what they do.
Oh, okay. So then that goes into the next one where the tractor thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's really cool.
So did you really go to North Dakota?
No, I'm going in 3 weeks.
What?
That's why I haven't been yet.
Oh
but
my gosh.
I'm headed
That's
out
so
there
cool.
soon.
So the tractors really drive themselves?
Yeah. It's called the autonomous tractor, which I can now tell you about.
Okay.
Like previously a year ago, we were doing some video work for John Deere. We work with John Deere dealers across the country. So not John Deere corporate, but if like here, the dealer's Ag Pro, that's one of our clients.
Okay. Yeah.
So we do some work for them, but like around other places, they test kind of the new equipment, but now the autonomous tractor is out. So that means like no one is actually driving the tractor. You just, in their computer system, their precision ag is what it's called. You like set it up and it
does it. How do they test that without wrecking stuff?
That's a good question. I came in late in the game, like after it already worked.
Okay. It's like you had to crash a few tractors.
Like you had to run over something a few times for the like... to test it, just like Iron Man when he was like testing it out for the first time, he destroyed a few things,
broke a few bones.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Silas? What you got to ask her?
What's the hardest thing about your job?
Ooh, right out the gate.
The hardest thing, man, there is a lot of information to keep up with. So I think just staying organized and keeping track. So we work with, gosh, off the top of my head, 20 something clients, and they range from the agriculture world, like John Deere dealers, to an electric company, to a software company in the ag world, to a grocery store chain in South Mississippi, like lots of different things. So there's a lot of different industries, and keeping up with all the different tasks that go on in the marketing world, I think just staying on top of that can be really difficult. And then when ads aren't going, getting results and things aren't going the way that you want them to, like finding solutions for that is fun and exciting, but also pretty challenging. So.
Okay, that's cool.
So one of the things when it comes to this show, we want to just talk about some of the skills that go into your job, especially those who are wanting to go for that. What are the necessary skills for being an account executive, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would say communication skills are your number one. Oof. So a lot of what my job is communicating directly with our clients, kind of like the liaison between our internal team and the client themselves. So some clients have like marketing managers that we work with, and some we're working directly with the CEO of the company, or maybe someone else that does like business development or growth or something. It just kind of depends on how big or small the company really is. So being able to communicate clearly, sometimes you're working with people who really know what you're talking about, like you really know marketing. And then sometimes you're talking to people who have no idea, and that's why we're here to help.
Yeah.
So being able to articulate exactly what we do, why we do it, when we do it, is really big. So I would say that, relationship building. So being able to not get frustrated when people are frustrated with you, and being able to work through conflict and find solutions. So that really goes into problem solving skills, like a lot of those soft skills. Now, for my role in particular, I don't do a lot of the technical work. Like, I'm not a graphic designer. We have graphic designers. I don't record our videos or edit them. We have creative strategists, videographers. There's a lot that goes into the marketing sphere. We have people who implement Facebook ads and Google ads and stuff like that. But I kind of oversee everything that's going on.
Oh, that's cool.
And help make sure the client is getting exactly what they want. We're executing their marketing plan well, and that we are, you know, being flexible when we need to be and things like that.
Mm. Okay. Oh, that's really cool. And then you also mentioned school. What did you have to go to? What kind of degree did you have to go after to reach what you're in now?
Yeah, so my degree is in communication studies from the University of Tennessee. And that degree is more science heavy. So in the College of Communication at UT, you could go into PR, public relations, advertising, communication studies, or journalism. They all are very similar, have similar aspects, but communication was more general in that you learned theories of how to communicate with people and skills to do it well and presentations and a lot of science behind why we communicate, why consumers do what they do when you're talking about marketing in particular, where some of those other ones are more writing based and maybe more graphic design if you're in advertising and learning creative elements. So that's how mine was a little bit different.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
The science behind how you talk to people. I remember growing up watching.
I remember growing up.
Hey, you leave me alone.
Back in my day. Sorry.
Says the person with them gray hairs.
No, that's why I was saying it, Joe, because you were not that old, sir. Go ahead. my salt and pepper alone.
So when I was growing up, I used to go and watch YouTube videos of TED Talks where they would just have conversations on how to improve communication skills. I always wanted to figure out how to be better when it comes to talking to people. And so I would get into the nitty gritty and be like, okay, what's my body posture looking like? They say as so much. As, it's crazy.
No, I know.
It's crazy because they're like, open, close. Where's your shoulders facing at? Is your feet facing them? It got to that level for me, at least. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's crazy.
Is that why you went to Australia, is to learn how to talk with your body language there? Good day, mate. I'm going to talk with my shoulders. That was awful.
How did you go from Australian accent to like England?
Because, Joe, it's called diversity, okay?
No, it's not.
Sorry. Go ahead. So what did you go to Australia for then?
I studied abroad.
Yes.
There. So that was my sophomore year of college.
Did it have something to do with communication though?
It did. So The School of Communication at UT takes a trip. I don't think they do it anymore, but they used to take a yearly trip to Australia and they had like a partnership there with the University of Sydney. So we took Australian history from a professor there, and then a professor from UT went with us and she taught intercultural communication. So we did a lot with like local people there and what to, you know, even though you would not think culturally Australia is very different than us, they speak English. The setup of their government similar to ours, like things like that, but culturally it is different, more of like a relaxed lifestyle and health conscious, like all these things. And just their history that has influenced them. You know, they were a convict nation.
So yeah, they were
criminals from England had to go build that nation. So it's just like crazy how the world works at the time. Yeah. So it was built off that at the beginning. But so I took that class and then I did an internship. So the first half we studied and the second half we worked. So I worked for the Australian Business Women's Network.
Ooh.
I was a PR intern, so I helped introduce some people into the Australian Business Women's Hall of Fame, worked on some articles for them.
Wow.
An event for that.
That's really
cool. And did a lot of, helped them run their podcast, transcribed their podcast for them.
Is that a lot of typing?
Yes, a lot of typing. But I will say, I was telling someone recently, though that was like busy work that an intern, you know, might typically do, I learned so much. I had a notepad, like writing down if they were giving really good tidbits about stuff. I'm like, write that down. While I'm transcribing this, I'm going to make use of my time. So,
okay,
that's good.
I want to help give some of our listeners out there, future listeners, some nuggets of information. So you're talking about note taking for those in school and all that. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to take notes in your opinion? Like, how do you go about that?
To me, okay, I will say a huge part of my job now is note taking. When I'm having a meeting and we need to reference, it's amazing how much you have to go back and reference. What did we say in that meeting? What did we agree to? You know, what did the client ask for? I will say the best way to take notes is truly the way that works for you. And I think this will apply to a lot of things in your life, but you got to find what works for you. And there's a million ways, and I am guilty of this, of trying to find the perfect way to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't really helpful if you're not actually doing it. So I think to me, when I take notes, I don't try to write down exactly what the person is saying. I try to comprehend. So whatever you're telling me, I'm going to digest a little bit and write down the important things just to kind of comprehend, like just to give me enough to trigger what was said.
Mm-hmm.
So I shorthand a lot of things because a lot of times then I'm writing a follow-up email. I'm delivering action items to my team. So I've got to take those nuggets and translate them that someone else can understand. Yep. So finding a system that works for you, it took a long time for me to find a system. Even in college, I was like writing down every single thing the professor said. And you really didn't need to do that. You need to write down like just the most important piece of information and then, or just something to jog your memory to go back and look later. I know there's a lot of different like write this here and that there and those things, but it never worked for me. Now, if it works for someone else, absolutely do it. But
no, that's really good. That's really good.
I get paralysis when I think about taking notes. Because everything, you'd say, pick out the most important things. Well, everything's important. And then I freeze up. So that's where I live.
What is like, what's your favorite thing? Like, what's the one thing that you're most excited for whenever you go to like a meeting or...
My favorite thing is the people that we work with. So we work with a lot of different people. A lot of our clients, we're based in Mississippi. So a lot of our partners are Mississippi based small businesses. So we work some in the Delta in Mississippi. So that's like on the Mississippi River Delta, there's businesses there. We work with some in like South Mississippi, but now we have clients in Louisiana, Illinois, North Dakota, Georgia, kind of all over, and we get to travel and talk with them. And I think it's so interesting just to really connect with people. It's a way to meet different people. And like a few months ago, I think it was in April, we were at a shoot for a John Deere dealer in Georgia, and they invited us to dinner. Yeah. So my team and we went and had dinner, and they made, let me tell you this, it was in Vidalia, Georgia, home of the Vidalia onion.
I bet you everything was onions, wasn't it?
Yep. Have you been to Vidalia? I mean, the courthouse has an onion on top.
I mean, I've been through Vidalia, but never.
So you really need to dig into the Vidalia lore if you haven't heard about Vidalia onions. But it's like the soil there has less of something that makes onions sweet. So they have. We were there around the time of Vidalia Onion Festival.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like a good time. Yeah. I just imagine the mayor just welcome to Vidalia, doing an onion like an apple.
I just keep thinking of the movie Holes.
Yeah,
just that scene. It's like, look at these onions.
Yeah,
they like made us homemade onion rings, and it was so good.
Oh, shrimp. My mom made those yesterday.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, they made like. It was great. So they cooked shrimp, potatoes, and he like dug potatoes out of his garden.
You know? That's awesome. Farm to table, huh?
Yeah, farm to
table. So you work with like sounds like you guys do like some agriculture, like you said earlier. Mm-hmm. So like you get to travel, for your job then.
Mm-hmm.
So that must be a lot of fun.
It is fun. It can be exhausting.
Yeah.
Especially when you're about to go on a, I'll be shooting every week for the next several weeks. So
shooting, huh?
Yes.
That sounds awesome. No, listen, I wish I could do that. Like, cause that's a lot of fun to be able to be on set and doing stuff. So you guys shoot commercials or is it just like...
Yeah, we shoot commercials. So we have usually our team is like an in-house videographer. So he has the whole setup of camera equipment, things like that. We have a creative strategist that goes. So she's kind of the vision behind, she writes our storyboard. She's the vision behind like what's going to come to life in the commercial.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we bring a photographer too. He's a freelancer from the town that I used to live in. And he comes with us if we need still photography for some ads. So it'll be the four of us and we'll go. And my role is really to develop that relationship with the client while we're there. And
that sounds awesome.
That's usually when we get to spend time with our clients. So overseeing and kind of being the person just to fill in anywhere and help, but also maintain that relationship.
So like because one of our things we do here is we do technical training courses. And that's like just like intense. It's like a workshop type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we've talked about doing is getting into teaching kids how to do commercial type stuff. That could be a fun workshop where we could come visit you guys or bring a team over here and we could set up some stuff. I don't know if that's something that you guys would be interested in, but
I can definitely talk to him about it. Yeah, that'd be cool.
It would be really cool because. One of the things, especially with this podcast we've talked about is like going around and going to some companies and asking to, hey, we'll put together a professional commercial for your business if you sponsor this podcast and like, man, that'd be sick, but
that'd be dope.
Yeah. And then get some Vidalia onions on the way. I mean, come on. Like, so
I'm highly interested in Vidalia onions now.
We could take a trip, Joe. I mean,
do they taste good?
It's like 3 hours from Disney. Good, yeah. So, I mean.
But I like onions, so you gotta.
Yeah.
Oh.
Have you ever had a Vidalia onion?
No, I just like.
I'm sure you have. You just don't feel
like,
it.
Yeah, it's just like sweet onion. Not like onions are usually pungent, is yes, the word.
Like ogres.
So these are sweet.
No, ogres have layers.
No, Shrek 5 coming out. We're not sponsored to PayPorce. Anyways, so Vidalia is a real small town, though. Like, what? Okay, what's the coolest place that you've kind of been to in the United States with your job?
So hard. One of my favorites is in Louisiana because I think the sugarcane farms are pretty cool. So, and like the swamp of it all, you know.
So you've been to Louisiana. I've always wanted to go to Louisiana. Yeah, Katie and I,
people are great.
We're trying to do the influencer thing right now. We've got a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. She's taking off on TikTok and we just had two videos.
I've actually seen your viral TikTok.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. It's it's pretty nice.
I am a Swiftie myself. Yeah, so,
man, the people that got so flexed about me talking over, I was like, y'all, that's the shtick. Like, she's explaining to me, and I'm like, oh, this is great. Yeah, commentary. And people got so mad about it. I was like, all right, so I'll take the engagement, though. Like,
it's also funny that the microphone was closer to you. And it's like, what do we do?
Well, I mean, it was like, I was holding the phone, but anyways, it was just funny. But we've had brands reaching out to us too, so we're like trying to, because we want to travel, mm-hmm. we want memories and experiences with our kids. So
yeah,
but so anyways, Silas.
yeah. Let's see. Well, what, like, how did you learn and want to be in this career?
Ooh. Okay.
Okay, so that's actually a really interesting story. So when I was deciding where I wanted to go to college, I grew up here in Cleveland, but I really wanted to go to Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi. So my parents went to Ole Miss. I lived in Oxford till I was like 10 or 11. So like
Mississippi, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The University of Mississippi, Ole Miss. Yeah. So I really wanted to do that. I did not consider going anywhere else. Like, I applied to Ole Miss, planning to get in and get a scholarship and like I'd try to do anything else. What I wanted to do there was like international business. They have a good program for that. And you like travel, you spend a year of your time like in a different country, learning the language, learning the business, like all of this different stuff. So it's called the Croft Institute. I never for one second considered I would not get into that program. Yeah. And I didn't.
Ooh.
And that I remember December in my high school, like crying because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life now. Like, and so I had some friends going to UT and they were like, why don't you just come visit UT? Yeah. So I went up with them, actually loved it. They were doing journalism and communications. And I was like, I have no plan for my life now. Like, I'll just do whatever y'all are doing.
Wow.
And so
that worked out for you.
Yes. And they told me during that,
if your kids join, what you're doing,
thing that we went to, like, it was like, one of the things we'll do is a trip to Sydney. And I was like, okay, I mean, I want to go to Sydney. Yeah. Like, that was the whole reason.
That would justify me. I'd be like, yeah, absolutely.
Would I recommend that to people? No, sometimes it just works out that way. So I studied that, thought about going to law school. Lot of people who do communications will go into law school after that. That's a pretty common path. So thought about that, studied for the LSAT, took the LSAT, and was planning to do that. In Australia, though, I really hated my internship. Like, I was like, I just don't know that this is what I want to do with my life. And talked to my professor that was there about it. She was like, when you get back, why don't you come do some research with me and see if you like research? So I worked with her. We worked on this super interesting project about opioid addiction and how it affects your ability to communicate and your ability to have relationships. It was fascinating research. So because I was doing that research, I took a class called psychopharmacology because I wanted to understand
psychopharmacology. Were just blowing my mind.
Crazy. So I took a class about, it was basically illegal drugs and behavior and how it affects your mind and body. Mm-hmm. So I'm like seeing people in this research project, like we were sitting down interviewing people that were addicted to drugs and about like their relationships. They're like hearing our questions and realizing that they've lost their ability to have relationships because nothing compares
to the drugs.
You can't like have this, you don't get the same kind of joy out of relationships that like people who don't have that do. So it's really fascinating. Yes. I'm learning about all the different things and even like other medicines and what they do to your body. Wow. So I think during that time, maybe I want to be a pharmacist. So my aunt and uncle own a pharmacy in Mississippi. I'm like super, I call them, I'm excited about it. I'm like, hey, this is really fascinating to me. I really love it. So I talked to one of my professors and she's like, I think that you love this and you're so passionate about it. And I've never seen to be this passionate about law school. Like maybe this is your path. So my junior year of college, I'm one class away from graduating early, decided to take all the prereqs for pharmacy school. What? So I've got a degree in communication and I've got basically a degree in pre-pharmacy. Wow. So I took every single prereq for pharmacy school. I applied to pharmacy school, had to advocate for myself to get in because I have a degree in communication.
Right.
I get into UT's pharmacy school.
Get it.
In Memphis. So that was 2018, I think. And I would start in the fall of 2019. I was missing one class. It was organic chemistry. Ooh. So I had to take it in the summer at a community college.
That always sounds, was it boring?
It was boring. It was hard.
Yeah, hard.
I really studied. Yeah. I took a job at Walgreens Pharmacy. I was working as pharmacy tech.
Yeah, you did.
I was doing all this stuff, trying, you know, like thinking that was my path. And I basically, they would not let me take that organic chemistry class in the summer and start in the fall. They said, what if you fail? I was like, I promise you, I've worked so hard. I'm not going to fail. Like this is going to happen. And they wouldn't let me do it. So I had to defer my enrollment for a year, which put me starting pharmacy school in the fall of 2020.
Ooh, dreaded.
So when everyone talks about quarantine and COVID, like I didn't have that experience because I was working in a pharmacy. So yeah.
So you were actually busy.
Yeah, like in COVID-19, like the pharmacist I worked for, he was from India. So he was hearing from his family in India, like in late 2019, like, hey, there's this virus, there's this thing coming. I'm worried about it. So I'm hearing it in December of 2019 of like, oh, what's going on? And we're just waiting. So like I spend all that time working at the pharmacy, all of this stuff. Anyway, I realize at some point that I hate this. Yeah. Like what I loved about the research and what I'm actually doing is not the same.
It's not, yeah.
And I had people in my life, like pharmacists in my life saying, hey, you don't want to do this. This is the trend of like this pendulum that swings is not on our side right now. Like you're going to have massive debt. You're going to not get paid that much to pay back your loans. You're going to have to work a lot. Like all these things. Oof. Which I don't know, like insurance companies, all the stuff. They're like, this is not a wise decision. So it really took in the summer of 2020, I had to sit down and be like, okay, am I going to school? I've done all of this work. How in the world? And like truly part of this is my faith. Like I really thought the Lord was leading me that way. So to get that far in the path, see so many doors open and hear, this isn't the choice for you anymore. Like that was hard because how do you go down this path for so long and waste your time?
Oh basically? My gosh, yes.
So I was really struggling with it. I talked to my family about it. My mom talked to my grandfather about it. And he was like, really, it was weighing on him. He was really worried. He talked to his best friend in Mississippi and was like, and he was just like having a casual conversation. It was like, my granddaughter, you know, she thought she was going to pharmacy school. She doesn't think it's right anymore. Like, doesn't know what to do. And he's just asking, well, what's her degree in? Blah, blah, blah. He's like, communications. And he's like, well, I'm looking for a communications director. Would she be interested? In 2020, I drove down on a whim to Batesville, Mississippi, which is where home of the South Panola Tigers, if you're familiar, very good football team in Mississippi, and interviewed with the superintendent for a job as their communications director.
Wow. Okay.
As their old one was getting ready to leave.
That is so cool.
That is cool. I interviewed a week later. They offered me the job and I decided, you know what, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. And so I took the job.
That's so cool.
And
so
then I worked in a school during COVID and like schools reopening.
Oh, yeah.
And part of in a county where it was probably a 50-50 split of people who think we should reopen and wear masks and do all the stuff, or we should stay closed, or we should not be wearing. Like it was just a lot of
division.
You couldn't make anyone happy. And I'm on the forefront of having to relay information and make people feel safe. So it was a rewarding job in that I really felt like I made an impact and got to help people and do and communicate things well and keep people informed and all of that. It was a really difficult job as well because all that weighs on you. So I was like teaching a journalism class
Never been a teacher. I was like, what?
Sounds like us.
Part of the job. Yeah. I was like studying the night before, like how to work a camera, how to work Premiere Pro, like any of this stuff, just
you're giving
it
me faith.
Like telling it the day before. Yeah, I've been there. That was my favorite part. I loved my students. I loved the relationships I got to build there. It was great. So I did that for about 2 years. And it was really awesome. It was rewarding and it was good, but it wasn't like truly what I wanted to do. Like, I just didn't feel like it was for me to do forever. There had been so much division and like all these things. And I was really trying to come to a place where like, I really felt like we needed to not rebrand as a district, but we needed to set ourselves up for like future success.
Right. Yeah.
So I reached out to Hunt Marketing, the company I work for, and asked them to help with a branding project. We needed an official tiger. We needed some messaging and some videos, like to get people hyped about school and all those things. They were known for athletics and not really academics, but not really for good reason. The academics had come so far. They were an A-rated district. Like, wow. They just needed people in the community to know. So I reached out, help. I got the... came to the meeting with a PowerPoint, a pitch of like, hey, I need all this work done, but I'm not a graphic designer. I'm not a videographer. Like, if you guys could do it, really help. I left that meeting and I went with like a coworker of mine and that he kind of knew these people. I left that meeting and the lady that was the vice president of the company at the time texted him and said, how much does she make?
Uh-oh.
And he was like, is she happy at her job? So a couple weeks later, they reached out and asked me if I would come work for them. So I left my job. I'd pitched them a project and then left.
Wow. That's crazy.
And so we did not do the project.
Yeah.
Hey,
cha-ching. You know what I'm saying?
Like, but it really, like, truly, it was like where I needed to be. Yeah. And I feel like I was a better fit for this job. And like, it was just in my career. And
yeah.
I was commuting like 30 minutes and that helped me. Not. And now I work fully remote.
Oh, wow.
So my husband, he works in ag research for UT. And so he used to work for Mississippi State. That's now he cool. moves there. I got to keep my job and I work remotely now. So those are just things that I wasn't going to be able to do if I kept a job like that. So anyway, I don't remember what the question was.
So you guys,
answered it.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. That was a good story. Like, there was a lot of, because I think I can relate to those moments where you think you're going one direction and you're just like, oh, this is it, I'm having a great time, and then all of a sudden, nope, it just goes this completely sideways for you. But yeah, so you work remotely now, which I've tasted that life, and that's why I'd love to get back to that life.
Taste is the dream. Yeah,
I've seen the promised land. There's just something so fun about working from home and like in your pajamas all the time, or you can go work. I called a friend of mine one time and he was at the beach in a cabana. What is it?
I think so.
One yeah. And he's like, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm working. He shows me his computer screen and then he shows me the beach in the background. I'm like, you jerk. Like, stop it. But go ahead.
Oh, well, I was about to say, I think it's time for.
Wrapping it up here. Okay, so now it's time for the rapid fire questions.
So this is the part of the show. Yeah, you don't have the questions.
Yeah. We do.
Well, actually, I do.
Oh, yeah, you do. Where'd my copy go?
You don't get one.
I guess not. Okay.
So this is the part of the show where we try to have some fun. On our recent podcast, we had someone answer 17 questions, and it is going to be your job to answer more than that.
Okay.
So we have prepared one-word responses to these questions for you. I said that right. Yes. We prepare questions where you can just give one word answers.
Come on.
Okay.
And that's all you got. Hey. So you're going to have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can.
Okay.
Everybody, and we got a nice little ding noise now to let you know when you answer them. So we're going to tally that up.
Is it right or wrong? There's
no right or wrong answer. Okay, okay. You just got to get through them.
I got it.
This is all questions about you.
Okay.
Or for you.
By you. No, wait.
Are we ready?
I think we're ready.
Okay. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Chocolate.
Favorite movie?
Mean Girls.
Can you read?
Yes.
Who's your favorite author?
Kristen Hanna.
Favorite book?
The Nightingale.
Ham or sausage?
Sausage.
Would you rather have no arms or no legs?
No arms.
What's your favorite beverage?
I like LaCroix.
Ooh, favorite pastime?
Reading.
Can you swim?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite superhero?
Batman.
If you could have coffee with a person dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh my gosh. Kristen Hanna.
Does pineapples belong on a pizza?
Yes.
Is water wet?
Yes.
Would you rather travel by plane or boat?
Plane.
When's the last time you stubbed your toe?
Like 2 days ago.
Have you ever broken any bones?
So close. So close. How many was that?
You answered 16.
The next one was a very good answer.
What was the answer?
You can go ahead. I've broken the same foot twice.
What? How did you do that?
The first time hiking House Mountain in college with my roommate. We were hiking at sunset and did not realize. We didn't account for the fact if you hike at sunset, you hike down in the dark.
Ooh.
And I fell and landed, like tripped down the mountain, landed on a rock, broke my foot, had to walk a mile out.
Wow.
I like was pretty, I like considered dropping out of college at that point. That was like my freshman year, right before fall break. And like you're on UT's campus, it's so hilly, like you're walking in a cast on crutches. It was miserable. Second time, it was my very first week of my job. And I had to give a presentation on myself about like myself and then like as a fake marketing scenario, like what I would do. And I walked out of my house that morning and tripped and fell and broke my foot. And I knew immediately I'd broken my foot. And I called my dad and I was like, I think I broke my foot. And he was like, there's no way. And I was like, yeah, it feels the same as last time. He's like, there's no way you can break the same foot twice in the same place. We had the our office is all upstairs their conference room is like downstairs. Well, underneath us was an Ortho Express. So it's like urgent care, but for orthopedics. So I went to work. I was hobbling. I gave my presentation and then I was like, I need to go to Ortho Express, get an x-ray. And like,
yeah, he did
walk down under there and
broken.
So the first like month and a half, I was in a cast in a boot. And everyone took turns sitting in the conference room with me, so I wasn't alone.
Oh, that's nice.
It was sweet. That's how I got to know people.
Did you like give the presentation? My name is Mary.
No, and like I was standing there, and it didn't hurt bad if I wasn't moving it.
Okay.
But they all knew. The girl, she was like, "Why are you hobbling?" Yeah. My office mate at the time was like, "I'm gonna get you some pillows and some ice, and like just prop that up."
Wow.
Yeah. They're probably like, man, this girl's dedicated.
Yeah. I was like, I wanted this job so bad. Like,
mad respect. She did it.
Now that I know everybody, I'm like, that was silly. They would have let me not give that presentation. You know what? They never made anyone else give a presentation. I was like the first.
You're setting trends.
After that, everyone else, they're like,
marry the trendsetter.
Too much. We'll hire people and they don't have to do it. So.
Oh, that is incredible. Well, does anybody have any other questions?
What's your favorite kind of cheese?
What?
That is so hard because I love cheese. Like,
same.
I like Brie. I like Munster.
Munster's a good one.
Yeah.
Munster.
And like, you gotta try Munster cheese if you haven't had it.
I've had it, yeah. Is that the one that like...
Gardner's Market.
No, I'm thinking Gouda. Gouda is Gouda. Gouda is good. Good. Anyway, sorry.
I just want to look at you as you explain a joke and be like,
I need the rim shot. Something. All right, go ahead. So cheese, you like
answer. Yeah, I like all cheeses. Cheese, probably.
All cheese.
I don't like.
Well, which one's your favorite though?
Limburger.
I like I think Munster.
Good choice. Good answer.
I'm a provolone and mozzarella.
Ooh, fresh mozzarella.
What about you, Silas?
Okay, this is going to sound really weird, and I'm probably going to be judged for this, but I like chocolate cheese.
Huh?
Say that again?
Chocolate cheese.
You haven't?
No, where do you get chocolate cheese?
My grandparents, sometimes they'll, like, they go and, I don't know, they got it from somewhere, and it was just like it looked like a brownie, but it was a kind of cheese, and it was actually really good. Oh, this is embarrassing.
I'm loving it. Joey's there.
Okay. Yeah, it was really good. It
what
was
do you eat chocolate cheese with? Like, yeah, what by itself? Do you put it on a cracker?
Oh, I just ate it by itself.
Okay.
I tried it on an apple slice, but it didn't taste good.
So is it like chocolate that's like a cheese texture?
No, it's like chocolate that like they mix cheese and chocolate.
Cheese with
and
cocoa.
It's so good. It so basically like, has like the sharp okay. kind of taste of cheese, but you got like the chocolate. Oh, it's good.
So if you put it on a s'more, it'd be like a chocolate or a grilled s'more. Never mind. Dang it. I couldn't do that one. That would. So it's like kind of melty.
No, it's just like, yeah, it's just
like,
it's,
you know, how like cheese, you pull it apart and like
stringy.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, okay. You know, those blocks that you buy, like the little great. Wedges.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
You just, yeah. Yeah. It's like that, but it crumbles really easily.
Like feta.
Yeah.
Feta is better.
Basically a mix of just multiple cheeses and then you just dump chocolate.
So it's like all the cheeses combined.
Yeah, it was like really good.
Ultra cheese.
I don't know.
Who makes this kind of cheese?
I have no idea where they got it. They got it from somewhere that's not here.
Then you ate it without question.
Yeah, I mean it's. I'll eat.
He said you got to try everything once.
Yeah. There's not every. Not everything. It doesn't work for everything, Joe.
See, if I don't want to eat something, I think, well, what if the next chance? What if I won't get another chance before I die to eat this? And I'm like, all right, let's eat it. So
sometimes I think the same thing.
Yeah. Did you eat anything weird in Australia?
Why does it have to be weird?
Yeah.
Sorry, let me back up.
I did.
Different than what you're normal to. I'm sorry.
I had kangaroo.
What?
Yeah, I don't.
She said, I
would not recommend.
She said, I don't fight kangaroos. I eat them.
Like a baby kangaroo comes up to like a picnic table. You're like, here, take this piece of meat.
I said no dark jokes.
No, it's like, it's called minced meat there, you know, like hamburger meat and like ground. So I had like a kangaroo burger. Would not recommend. Had a kangaroo steak. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Did it have a kick to it?
Yeah, it's like, you know how like deer meat tastes like gamey kind of? It tastes like that.
That was a good one.
You can't win them all. I had camel one time. I think I told you that, Joe.
I had bison.
And goat.
I've had goat.
Yeah.
I had bison. Bison is good. It's like a bison bratwurst. Oh, it was really good.
They have bison at Jenkins. They have a bison burger. Or is it a buffalo burger? It's buffalo because I thought it was like a buffalo chicken type thing, you know, like with, and I was like, oh, this would be great. And I was like, what is this? There's no hot sauce and ranch on this. Like, so,
it's like jokes on you.
Yeah. I'm so interested about this chocolate cheese. Could you get some of that?
I don't know where you could get it. It's, if you look up a picture, it looks pretty.
I'm going to Google it. And if it's not true.
Okay.
I'm going to take your left shoe.
If you lie to me, I am taking your left shoe.
Yeah.
Keeping it. Oh look, okay. Amelia came to your rescue.
Oh, we're pulling up on the screen, the monitor here.
See? Oh, I'm not a liar. I speak the truth.
Liars. That looks like liars, a loose fudge. Term. As if a heart. Yeah.
That is fudge.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that's fudge?
No, it has like the cheesy taste in it. It's weird.
Cheesy taste?
Are you sure it's not fudge?
No.
His grandparents called it.
You want some cheese chocolate? The chocolate cheese?
Most what does call Google it Shopping say? Where can you get it?
Are you making fun of my grandmother?
No, I'm just doing. I don't know what your grandma sounds
Amazon.
Like.
So I'm doing I don't know if I'm eating cheese from Amazon.
Ugh,
chocolate cheese.
Joe fun. Ordered a steak. He had a steak pull up in a box and some dry ice
from the Wagyu shop.
The Wagyu.
Wagyu is Australian beef.
I had the Japanese one though.
Okay.
That one was good. Don't ask me to pronounce it because I couldn't.
I went to a fancy restaurant one time where they gave us a rock and we cooked it on the rock.
That's an experience.
It was. Okay, so there's chocolate cheese.
Made with cheddar. See?
$20.
Go ahead and order that. I'm just kidding. We'll try the next episode. I still want to know about the kangaroo. Like you just ate it.
Yeah. So we lived in like an apartment complex, like student housing while we were there. And there were some people who came. This is how I ended up at surf camp. So they came and they were like trying to get people to go to surf camp.
Oh, okay.
They're like cooking. Like their hook was like, hey, we're making kangaroo burgers. Would you like to try one? I was like, sure. And so then they're like, hey, we run this. This is terrible. They were in this surf camp and they're like, do y'all want to go? And I'm like, yeah, we do. We're from America. Like, we've been wanting to do that, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, well, on Saturday, we'll meet you out here with the van and y'all like just come with us to surf camp. And so we paid them $300 and met them with, and they show up with like a white van. You're like, okay, I hope we're going to surf camp, but I'm not sure.
I'm imagining them, the kangaroo is tied up in the van with the thing. He's like, he shuts the door.
It gets so much worse because it's like we keep picking up people from like hostels on the way, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like we're sitting and I'm You're with a group like, of uh-oh. People and it's like an odd number of
yeah.
us.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we get to camp, they're like, okay, everyone find your roommate. And I'm sitting by a Russian guy and we've been like conversing a little bit, but like he doesn't really speak English. I yeah. definitely don't speak Russian. So like we're having a hard time. And so like all my friends suddenly pair up and the Russian guy's like, do you want to be my roommate for this? I'm like, no,
room with me?
No, I don't. I don't.
I must break
and
you.
So we had like not a cabin.
So the Russian guy asked you if you wanted to be his roommate.
He did. And I was like, I'm sorry, sir. I don't want a roommate for this camp. Sorry. So
that's funny.
We had three to a room.
So the kangaroo burger turned into a bigger adventure.
It did. It turned into surf camp. So these guys just live in Australia and all they do is teach surf camp. They were from like all over the world. So in the morning we would surf and in the afternoon you would like, scuba dive and snorkel, and they were like where they went were some stingrays and stuff that like they feed so they keep coming, so we did that. And then there was a French woman who cooked meals, like it's just like going to Camp Cherokee, you know, like someone cooks meals up for every time, and they were like everything she cooked was amazing. So that's, we did that for like several days.
I go to a camp, it's Ridge Haven, and you go there in the winter and there's like snow and you jump in like the road up there. It's like blizzards and stuff, and we started sliding down a hill in the big van ones.
What was the name of the place?
Huh? It's called Ridge Haven.
It sounds like.
And like once you're
from Ridge Haven, I bring my battle axe. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I think it's better than Camp Cherokee because you get to jump into ice cold like ponds.
You jumped in the ice cold in the winter.
Yeah, in the lake, in the pond, and it's up in North Carolina too. That's and so
funny. He said, I'm ready.
And like, instead of like, we do bubble soccer, you know, where you get in those big plastic things and you run at each other.
Everyone has their own camp experience. Okay.
Yeah. And then we shoot people with bow and arrows, but they have like,
wait, murder camp?
No. Well, like we have archery tag and you hit people with arrows.
Oh,
but it's like,
we need a preface with that.
Yeah. Sorry. That sounded, it's like, yeah, we get to shoot people too.
But, that was my favorite part.
But anyway, it looks right like beyond. We are now at the end of our time. We do have one more question for you, Mary, and it is, if with all the things that you know now, what would be that one thing you would tell your younger self?
Just really to keep going, that everything turns out okay. Like I worried so much about what was the right path and what I needed to do and how I was going to get there and all of that. And it ended up being okay. And I didn't have to spend so much time stressing and, you know, they say borrowing tomorrow's worries. Like, you know, if it's not good, it's not the end. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just didn't have to spend all of that time, thinking that I wasn't good enough and that it wasn't going to work out, because it did. And I think when I look back, like every step that I took was preparing me for what, you know, I do now. And you can make mistakes and things still turn out all right. And pretty much everything is fixable. Even if you go the wrong course, you can always turn back. And like with anything, you got to be willing to fail, because that's how you learn.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Failure is a tough lesson. We tend to move away from it and be afraid of it, but that's the only way we really learn.
Well, I'm Mr. Joe, and we were joined by Silas and Crazy Jay and our special guest, Mary Cordero.
Woo!
So this is Youth Force Chronicles. We'll catch you next time.
Are you ready? No, we're not.